Hey, everybody. This is Ryan Little, co-host of What If Podcast. If you guys have enjoyed any of my thoughts on the different topics we've covered, you might enjoy checking out my original Kickstarter comic, The Crude Knight. This is, brace for it, another retelling of the King Arthur mythos. However, I absolutely promise this is a completely bizarre one, grounded in the Texas oil scene, starting in the Gusher Age and leading to a predator-esque battle against oil-filled zombies that think they're the Knights of the Round Table. It's a pretty fresh take, and issue 3 is live on Kickstarter now. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Ryan Comics, or just Google The Crude Knight 3 Kickstarter to check out some art, the first 6 pages, and find out more.
Where do you go for comics new and old? Where do you see your favorite television and movie stars? And where do you go to see the best in cosplay? Wizard World Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con offers live entertainment and gaming, comics new and old, cosplay, toys and memorabilia, and a chance to meet your favorite television and movie stars. For news, celebrity updates, and tickets to future shows, go to wizardworld.com. Don't feel like paying full price? No problem. Use promo code CANDAIR at checkout to get 10% off your tickets. So, where are you going to go for your pop culture fix? Wizard World Comic Con. Go to wizardworld.com for tickets.
Hi, this is Christopher Daniel Barnes, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and you're listening to the Canned Air Podcast.
And welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I'm Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And returning to the show to talk about Spider-Man Far From Home. We said we were going to bring him back when the movie had come out so we could talk about it, and we did just that. Mr. David J. Fielding. David, thanks so much for being back with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back.
Excited to have you back, because like as we said on the last one and as people heard, you know, you're very passionate about these movies, and there's no one I'd rather talk to than someone with that level of love and appreciation for them, because I don't think anyone else is going to get it quite as much as you do. You know what I mean?
Awesome. Thank you.
And what we're doing today is talking and reviewing and spoiling the heck out of Spider-Man Far From Home. But before we do that, I'm going to remind our listeners to follow us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you like what we're doing and you want to support the show for $5 a month, you can get access to the Canned Air Patreon pod. And we are over 20 episodes now, so that's a catalog you get access
to.
Yes, even if it's for 1 month, that's 20 episodes you get to listen to in that 1 month.
Right. Exactly.
Almost one a day. How about that?
Almost.
$5 for the first one, the rest are free.
There you go. You just, no matter how you paint it, right? If you're going to a Wizard World Con, don't forget to use the promo code CANDAIR at checkout to get 10% off of your ticket prices. What am I forgetting, gentlemen?
If you're listening to us on Apple Podcast app, leave us a like and review, and we'll read it on air.
There it is. There it is. All right, with that behind us, let's just sound the spoiler alarm and let everyone know that from this point forward, any conversation is spoilers for Spider-Man Far From Home. So if you haven't seen it yet, don't want to have it ruined, turn it off right now. Otherwise, let's get right into it. I want to start with David's just initial feeling of the movie.
I loved it. I mean, I've only seen it once. I've been traveling, so I haven't had a chance to do like a multiple viewings like I normally do with these films. But I really liked everything that happened in it, and the doors that it opened, and some of the questions that it had asked. And I really, really enjoyed just the overall vibe of the whole thing, and how every one of the kids are, you know, because they're all in high school still, is everybody was, I'm not really sure how I'm saying this, but they were all fully realized. They were all fully fleshed out, and it was all very, very believable. So
they weren't static characters in the background. They were actually fleshed out. Yeah, for sure. I would have to agree with that.
You knew who everybody was and stuff, instead of trying to figure out who's this guy still.
I love how they kept at the opening. They had the school news broadcast with Betty Brant and the other guy, and you know, it really sort of like brought you into that world again. And so I thought that was, you know, just a lot of fun.
I would have to agree with you on that. That of the whole movie, the takeaway, that opening scene where it shows, you know, the band disappear and then reappear, that was so impactful. And it goes to that same scene that you saw at the end of Infinity War. I think it was like a post-credit scene right before Samuel L. Jackson and Maria Hill. But, you know, you're just seeing widespread pandemonium, you know,
right?
Helicopters crashing, cars crashing, and that's what brings it into reality. And this just solidified that. I had to pull that part up when I found it on YouTube before it was pulled and watched it like three more times because of how impactful it was when they first disappear, hearing the people starting to scream and panic, and then just that instant reappear. Like, how weird that would be, you know? And I didn't
it
even...
seems.
Go ahead.
It seems more close to home, really, because, I mean, you always see something going on in New York outside in the city. You never see it, like, in the school, all of a sudden something crazy happened like that.
That's a good point. Like a setting we're all used to, yeah.
It was 5 years had passed, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess those kids had, he said in the newsreel that he had to retake the test that they already took once before and wasn't too happy about it.
Yeah. So,
you know, which is a very real thing when you're in high school. I mean, you know, that's like, holy crap, I got to do this thing all over again. So,
you know, that is something that had never even occurred to me at the end of Endgame was, you know, the people who did blip, as this movie has dubbed, you know, the whole snap versus those who didn't. And it never occurred to me that they would like kind of freeze in time, you know, of course they would.
Yeah.
And the ramifications of just that, you know, through the world would be crazy, because the one guy said my younger brother is now older than I am. And he just sat there confused, like, how is this?
Or also along the same lines on the when they're on the plane heading to Europe, and I think Flash is like is giving Peter a hard time and like drinking alcohol or something, and MJ's like, you know, he's not 21, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. In First Class or something. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
That was what threw me off of who else had the blip from the school. Was it just Peter? So everyone is actually 5 years older than Peter now.
No. I think the majority of them blipped because if those who'd stayed behind continued on, they would have been out of high school. They would have graduated and stuff, right?
Oh yeah,
that doesn't make sense, because I wasn't sure if maybe one or two didn't, but I'm like, but they're all on the same school trip, so how does that work if one's, you know, some are 5 years older than them?
And that, I guess that raises the question, like, when the snap happened, did people actually, were they aware that they were going away? Like, Peter was aware that he was leaving. And when we saw, like, Peter Quill, they all sort of had the realization that they were, you know, fading away or whatever. So I don't know if those people came back with those memories and how that would mentally screw with you or whatever. And a lot of the questions that they didn't ask or didn't answer, sort of like left off in the wings there, was like, you know, the people that stayed behind, the people that didn't get snapped, you know, some of them moved on with their lives. And what happens when your husband shows back up and you've already like started a different relationship or whatever? And so there's a lot of wonkiness and craziness that's part of the MCU now. I'm not sure, you know, what's the legacy of the Avengers going to be. So we'll see.
I'm excited to see what they do. That's going to be cool. Did I interrupt you?
I was just going to say, along the same lines, or kind of the pandemonium that people behind would just cause, because at the same plane scene a few minutes later, when they switched seats and Peter was sitting next to the teacher, and the teacher was just like gushing about how his wife pretended to blip and they threw her like a fake funeral. Right.
I love his character. Did you guys watch Freaks and Geeks growing up at all?
I did, but I thought he looked familiar, but I could not place him. I kept thinking it was Dax Shepard, but with dark
hair.
He's
Bill.
Well, you know that actor is in the Incredible Hulk movie with Ed Norton, right?
No. Is he really?
Yeah, he's the guy that is working in the computer lab when he delivers the pizza to get past Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that's the actor. I don't know if it's the same character, but it's the same actor. So it could be him, you know, a few years down the road. Now he's a high school teacher or whatever. But
I'll have to check that out. No, I totally missed that. Yeah.
Well, speaking of callback actors, did you guys catch Ralphie from A Christmas Story?
No.
The guy that was doing all the the electronics work with Mysterio, like the, I call him the DJ, but
yeah.
Yeah. That's,
oh, is that really him?
Yeah. That's Ralphie.
That's awesome.
I had no idea.
The guy that Obadiah fired in the first Iron Man?
Yep.
Is it really?
Yeah, I double checked that because I.
Are you sure?
I am dead serious.
I don't think it's true.
I've got to investigate.
It's the ears that gave it away, man.
Did you actually looked up the cast and everything? Yeah. And it's him.
I mean, please feel free to verify me, but
you're a liar, Randy, a dirty liar,
Randy.
Let me see.
I double dog dare you.
Jack, is that something you can look up in the background as we keep going?
Yeah, I can while I'm coughing my head off.
Because that is crazy. That's crazy.
Okay. Hopefully I'm right.
I hope so, because how awesome that would be. Where to go from here? How about, did you guys pick up on the Hydro Man reference?
Oh, yeah. When they were talking about I just watched a video of like all the spoilers for the movie, and all the kids were talking about, it was the news report or something like that. When they first saw Mysterio, and it was something that they started talking about. Yeah, some guy ended up having some accident, and he was underwater, blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did catch that, yeah.
So I was relieved to see that they didn't, a lot of people had speculated they were going to use these elements to kind of, you know, throw these characters into the MCU in just any way. So, you know, Hydro Man and Sandman, and I don't remember if there was, if they had bridged anyone for, like, the Molten Man.
Right.
But I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah.
I'm really glad they didn't do that.
And a quick
Easter egged a lot of the elementals. Like, there was a lot of stuff with, like, fire or license plates. I guess the director likes to do that. And a lot of the license plates broke down to, like, Amazing Spider-Man number 4, certain number so-and-so year. And that was one with, like, Molten Man and another with Sandman
Type of thing. And there's, like, a number on a cop car somewhere later that's also, Amazing Spider-Man number, whatever, that's relevant to that scene right there.
Actually, a boat that went by, it was the camera was on Flash, I think, or no, it was Ned, and there's a boat that went by that the number on it
that's referenced. That's what it was.
Yeah, the water one.
See what else? Another thing to touch on, Edith. My God, what a great little idea these glasses were. And just that name alone, Edith, even dead, I'm the hero. That really brought Tony into the film, I felt like. It was it so did. Him, right?
He's such a jerk.
exactly. That was so great about it.
I find it really fascinating that the MCU relies on Stark Tech for everything, mainly because knowing the comics, there are people that are smart as or smarter than Tony Stark that, invented things and built things. And so the fact that everything sort of like seems to revolve around StarTech is very interesting, almost overwhelmingly so.
Go ahead.
I was just, formulating thoughts and stuff about it. I have no idea where they're going to take it, especially now that the Sony merger, happened. And will they reintroduce Reed Richards and, some of the other smarter characters, Hank McCoy that might come in and expound on all these scientific inventions and stuff. So, we'll see what happens. But
I was really bummed that the MCU, not they overshadowed, but they didn't play up Hank Pym to the importance level that the comics did. Amazing it would have been to see like the miniature like Pym prison he had. Like,
right.
That always just fascinated me to no end. Like, I loved that concept.
Right. Or the fact that he was the one that created Ultron and
right. And that just goes right into what David's saying. Had they built him up a little more when they actually, this wasn't a rights thing, they could have.
Right.
There could have been a second form of like high technology in there. And with the Sony rights, with Reed Richards, that in itself would present. But I think, now that they have those, do they have the rights for Fantastic Four now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think, with Tony being gone, that would be a good way to, usher in, have this new genius, new Fantastic Four come in. I've been seeing people speculating Easter eggs in Far From Home that might insinuate the Fantastic Four. Oh, coming.
Well, that kind of dovetails into the whole Mysterio thing, right? Because I didn't talk a lot about it online, and the way the marketing and the advertising, it was sort of like they were hinting that Mysterio was going to be a good guy, he was going to be a hero,
right?
And they were going to flip the page, kind of like what they did with the Skrulls and Captain Marvel, and this villain that we know from the comic books was going to turn out to be a good guy. And I'm really glad that they didn't do that.
Yeah, it would have been pointless even have Mysterio if they did.
The whole concept of there being other dimensions and stuff was very cool, and then it kind of like went away once you realized that Mysterio was, you know, screwing around with everybody, and that was all fabricated. So it does leave questions open about how are they going to introduce those other characters if they do bring them into the MCU, because the multiverse theory is sort of like, well, was that just all made up by Mysterio, or was there some truth to that? We don't know.
That's a very good point to make. I left assuming he had made it up because, you know, Fury was like, he's from Earth, just not ours. This, and they even by name say this is the 616 universe.
Right.
But I feel like that's not true. The MCU isn't true 616, right?
No, that spoiler video I watched today, the MCU is like 1199999 or something like that.
Right. Right.
So then the whole thing had to have been bullshit, right?
Yeah.
It had to have been a lie.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, and that would have been a great segue for them to start bringing to, you know, like we said before, bringing the Spider-Verse to the MCU. I mean, we've got the animated thing, but, you know, that was such an event in the comics in, what, 2013? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, that would have been, it'd have been cool. But at the same time, I'm kind of glad they didn't.
Well, I think Mysterio said it best in the movie, because he's like, was talking to one of his other henchmen where he was like, you created a story so crazy, everybody believed it.
Yeah.
And I mean, the other teacher that was running around when the Elementals, thank you, were attacking the city. He's like, it's wizards.
Yeah.
Witches.
I do.
Witches, sorry, yes, witches.
I do have to make another shout out to JB Smooth, that other teacher that was on the trip, who did have the shout out for the Power Rangers, and I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I absolutely.
No, it's more like Voltron.
Yeah, I totally missed that.
Yeah. When there was a big fight scene going on, he's like, they're coming together like the Power Rangers.
Yes. Okay, I remember now. He is just priceless. Yeah. I adore him. He's so good. Especially if you're a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan. Oh, my God. What a priceless character Levon is. Yep. Leon. All right. Going from here, how about just the evolution of Peter Parker in this film? He starts sheepish. She's like, I don't want to take on these big things. I'm more friendly neighborhood. And just kind of pushed into that new role of, I don't want to say the next Iron Man. I guess the movie was saying that. But, you know, there are shoes to fill. And watching him be pushed into those shoes through this film, I really enjoyed.
While Tom still was, a high school Peter Parker, there was a very clear confidence to him that he didn't have in Homecoming. In Homecoming, he was still kind of awkward and fumbling and stuff like that. But in a lot of scenes when he's talking with other characters, he's very confident in how he carries himself. And I think that's interesting, considering everything that Peter's been through since Civil War and stuff. So I thought a good choice, acting choice anyway. So
I really enjoyed it. And, you know, toward the end, right before the final battle, when he's making his suit and Happy's about to turn music on, and he pauses and looks back and he gets a smile on his face because he sees a young Tony back there.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Especially that, so that part where he kind of puts the hologram on his hand and moves around. Yeah.
Yeah. He stops. Like, what?
I found it, guys.
What'd you find?
It was Ralphie. It is him. They just shaved the top of his head.
And it was him in the first Iron Man, too.
Yep. Yeah, I found the article that says it is actually the same guy, and it is Peter Billingsley.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
The more you know. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. You're wowing me, Randy. You're making me seem like Owen Wilson here. Wow. Wow. All right, moving on. Let's touch on a few different characters. First, Flash Thompson. you know, we kind of got the same feel from him we did in the last movie. But I don't know if you guys noticed, though, at the end when the parents are coming to get the kids off their vacation, they made a point to focus on Flash, and they made a point to show that his parents weren't there. Like, they'd sent right. the butler or something. Mm-hmm. I found that interesting.
Well, wasn't there also a part during when they're in Paris and everything's kind of... Or not Paris, excuse me.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah, sorry. During that first elemental attack, where, mm-hmm. didn't he, like, try and, like, save some kids or say... There was, like, a real quick... Maybe I missed that.
Or I don't know. I don't recall that.
I know what you're talking about. But I think he did try to pull someone, or he pushed some people out of the way or something. He did something.
Okay.
I want to say.
It just makes me wonder what they're planning with him. You know, obviously they're starting something. That's the seed of something else, right?
I got a theory, but I'll wait.
No, theorize. That's why we're here.
So in the comics, Flash, he becomes Venom and eventually anti-Venom, right?
Agent Venom.
Agent Venom. He loses his legs in real life. And right. like he's yeah, like he a goes in the service and
loses his legs.
Yeah, and he's like a new lease on life because the Venom suit gives him his legs okay. back.
But
yeah.
he and Spider-Man do become friends like after, like when they're in college, right? After he finds
Jack,
out.
Jack read more of that than I did.
That I really just know the origin. I wasn't sure if they're still friends. I think he is... Because he is more of a hero now.
He's Didn't on the he, better like, side. I thought he had joined up with the Guardians at one point. He, like, left Earth altogether, and, like, Agent Venom was one of the Guardians of the Galaxy for a while.
Oh, that's right, because I do have that one. I didn't get that far into that series, but I think I can't remember that one that well. I know Venom wanted to go back to his homeworld, though. He went back to the symbiotes, but I don't remember. I don't recall all what went down in that one. But, yeah, he was running with the Guardians for a little bit.
I guess kind of where I was going with that was with the mid-credit scene where everybody, quote-unquote, knows now that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Is that kind of maybe backdooring the opportunity for another character, maybe Flash Thompson, to pretend to be Spider-Man to kind of get Peter off the hook or something like that in future movies?
I've got theories about that that are totally different than yours. Okay, that's fair. I mean, as far as... that end scene with Jameson and right. exposing the identity and all that stuff, I think they're leading up to Sinister Six.
Okay.
I mean, and that's obviously not anything that no one else has never said. Everyone's saying that.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing I never noticed looking at some of those clips, they have introduced the Scorpion mm-hmm. into the MCU already. He was at the end of Homecoming, right?
Yep.
So Scorpion, Vulture, Mysterio.
Is Mysterio dead? Do we know if he really is dead? Because...
Is he?
But Ralphie,
he's the master of illusion. Who knows?
I know.
Who knows?
I was talking to a guy at work about that. He's like, no, he's dead. He's dead. I'm like, really, though? Really?
Well, if you listen to that, the end there, when Peter asks the computer if this is real, and all the computer says was there's no more holograms, that doesn't mean that he couldn't just be acting.
Yeah. I mean, in the comics, he cheated death two or three times, I think it was. And or at least the original, like, Quentin Beck did. And I think he was dying of cancer or something. And he had, like, less than a year. He was, like, told to go home and settle your affairs. And he's like, I'm going on one last outing as Mysterio. And I think he wanted to be defeated by someone he deemed worthy, but Spider-Man was not available for some reason. I don't remember what was happening, but he went to the next hero he thought worthy of defeating him, which was Daredevil. So Daredevil officially killed Quentin Beck off, and then two or three people held that mantle after he did.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, even if Jake Gyllenhaal isn't able to, like, take part in the next movie, Mysterio could still be a part of it because the Peter Billingsley ran off with the downloaded software, right?
So, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
They could bring back Mysterio as another hologram, a hologram of Mysterio or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I thought the hologram stuff that they did was, like, really, really well done.
Yeah.
Really sort of brought Mysterio's threat to life really well. So.
Yeah. Well, and we also have Chameleon in the MCU now.
How?
Dimitri. That's his name or whatever.
Dimitri.
The guy that
I saw something about that too, but I don't remember.
Dimitri's whatever his last name is.
That's who they're making the Chameleon?
Well, remember, he's a master of disguise.
But, anybody, yeah.
Yeah.
But that character name that actor plays is the chameleon.
Hmm. I didn't pick up on that.
So
no, maybe either.
I don't know if that's just an Easter egg or if that means something more.
Typically in the MCU, it means something more, doesn't it?
I love how they do that. They just slip things in and let people figure it out and then just let them run with it. So that's great.
I need to backtrack just a hair onto what you said, David, just commenting on the caliber of the illusions and how amazing, you know, that was. I can't agree more. Like, I was so worried, you know, when you see one of your favorite characters go to the big screen, you know, like the Green Goblin in the early 2000s with Spider-Man, you're like, this is freaking awesome. Yeah, I might have made changes with this character, but still it's cool.
Right.
And typically that's how you feel with most characters you see make it to the big screen. Not Mysterio. Like,
no,
it was perfect. Like, he was perfect. Perfect. Like, I was beside myself in the theater. Like, I couldn't get over how well it was. Like, the big statue effigy that came up, the marching Mysterio army. Like, it was, had goosebumps on my arms.
I think most of it has to do with because they got the dome perfect. It didn't look stupid.
Right.
Yep. Even when they showed him, like, in his CG suit, like, I liked the way he looked. Like, it, okay, in a practical world, this makes sense.
Yeah.
A lot of sense. And I loved how when Peter was in that illusion and he shot a web at Mysterio, it went through him. And when he pulled on it, he pulled, like, a crane into the illusion. And then, like, another time he goes to punch Mysterio and he actually hits a wall. Like, nothing is what it seems.
Yep.
Right.
It was so good. I loved
it. They couldn't have done
any better with Mysterio, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially that bar scene where he finally gets the glasses, and that was awesome.
Well, I let out a little squee when that started going on because I was so I knew they had. I was just like, "This is it. This is Mysterio."
Yeah,
yeah. I was sitting in my seat. I was very smug with myself. I was like, "I knew it.
I was right."
I would have killed to see your face in that moment. It would have been funny,
David. It was really funny because we did a Patreon episode a week before where we were kind of talking our predictions about Spider-Man. And a quick little plug for our Patreon. I think we nailed pretty much most of our predictions on that.
Yeah, I think we did. Cool. We did, especially at the end. You know, just close your eyes. And you, not that that's a prediction. That's what happened in the comics and the cartoon. You know, you realize I can't trust my eyes. I have to trust my sense. I'm just glad that they went that angle and didn't try something new.
Mm-hmm.
It was neat. How about Mary Jane? I loved the evolution. Not evolution. I loved just the character in this movie. You don't see a lot of her in Homecoming. And when you do, she kind of has her nose in the air and talking down to people. And I'm like, I didn't got time for that. But, you know, they kind of in this movie, she says, well, you know, that's just kind of what I do when I'm nervous. And they made her a endearing character.
Yeah, it kind of felt shoehorned a little bit in Homecoming.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
And she's had enough time to develop, and I think they did a really good job of that.
She really helped pull together the Spider-Man that I know. You know, I've always said about Homecoming, though it was fun, it's not my Spider-Man. This is not what I know of Spider-Man. There's nothing familiar there. Except, you know, except for, like, the Civil War aspect in the comics where he teams up with Tony. But this movie just brought it full circle. It brought in MJ. It brought in their little romance. He's back in New York City. You got J. Jonah Jameson blasting, I hate Spider-Man. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was exactly what it should have been by the end.
Yeah, and I'm so glad they didn't recast J. Jonah Jameson.
You couldn't.
Yeah,
it would be foolish to recast that man. He is.
I wish they would have kept the flat top, though.
Hey, same here. I was kind of disenchanted by that, but
it's okay that he's bald and everything like that. But I want the flat top. But you know,
And I think there's even been comics where he has been bald. I'm not sure why they did that, but I mean, it didn't hinder the experience for me. I mean, we've said it on the show before about how perfect he was. Yeah. And, like, why is no one else trying to tackle J. Jonah Jameson? Maybe it's just because they couldn't get him. They're like, we'll never do as good as that.
Right.
So if you can't do as good as that, just do that again.
Right.
You know? Well, now the perfect time to do it because Spider-Man was made to look like a menace at the very end. Otherwise, he was just kind of this guy. There's no reason to hate him.
David, you were about to say something there.
Well, I was going to say, I do love how Homecoming and Far From Home end with those sort of cutoff reactions. Like in Homecoming, it's Aunt May when she sees him as Spider-Man. And in this one, it ends with, you know, when, you know, his identity is revealed and they've got their hands to their head and they're like, what the?
Yeah.
I like that. I just think that's fun. So
my mind, since I've seen that, hasn't stopped, like, immediately thinking of, like, the immediately after. Like, when the screen goes dark, you know, like, what's happening to him immediately after? You'd have to rush home, get your family, get him to Avengers HQ or something. Well, I guess that's gone, isn't it? Where do you take him? But, yeah, how drastically everything would change in an instant. In an instant. What else we have, guys?
What do you guys think about Happy Hogan and Peter's kind of evolving relationship over the last few movies?
I mean, I like it, but with Marissa, with her and his, I don't know, like one seems to think it's a relationship, the other doesn't. I like their back and forth.
Yeah.
And
that was great at the end, yeah, when he was confronting him about it.
And they're like, are you guys dating? And they're both like, yes, no. I'm like, wait, what? That was priceless. But it's still hard for me to look at Marissa Tomei and think of her as, like, elderly Aunt May. I mean, she looks too fine to, you know.
Still, yeah.
Yeah, she's still the chick from My Cousin Vinny in my mind.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
But at the same time, she's played that role very well. You know, they've put her in, like, the old Volvo, and she's got great big glasses. So she looks like, you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe to kids nowadays, she does look old. Maybe I'm just getting old myself. Who knows?
That's what I think it is. But the wardrobe is what really kills me, because I don't know anyone that would be our age or a little older that wears those style jeans. It's a female.
Right, like the mom jeans, you mean? Or
yeah, yep.
Wasn't she, like, just wearing mom jeans and then, like, a workout leotard, like, as an outfit? Like, what? Like, if that were my aunt, I'd be like, please put some clothes on. Please. I am seeing too much.
Well, your aunt's not Marissa Tomei, so, you know.
Another touche goes your way, Randy. Yes, you're right about that. All right. What about the other ending scene? The other with Nick Fury. I keep seeing Samuel L. Jackson. With Nick Fury aboard the space station and the two Skrulls playing him in Help Me, Jack.
Maria Hill.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. What do we think about that?
I thought it was very humorous, and to be thinking that the Nick Fury that we were seeing throughout the entire film wasn't Nick Fury.
Right.
Was very interesting, considering how well Talos was playing him. Like, shooting the kid with the dart and saying, you know, bitch, please, you've been to space. And, so, you know, he must have really studied Nick a lot. And to see Nick out in space with whatever that new platform is, whether it's going to be Sword or whatever they, you know, they end up doing it. I saw somebody online had said it might even be part of Alpha Flight or something. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens next.
Yep.
They're really dragging us along with that Secret Wars teaser, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter what comes next, I mean, just that scene in itself insinuates its galactic threat. It's right. Huge galactic threat, right?
That has to, yeah.
So, I would love to see Galactus, but who wouldn't? You know, who wouldn't like to see that?
Could it be Super Skrull, maybe?
It's not impossible, but
that's definitely probably possible somehow that they've got a Super Skrulls that end up being the bad guys versus the Skrulls. When Maria first changed, I was like, oh my God, they're bringing them evil.
Yeah.
But then Nick changed too, and I was like, wait a minute. And that changed the whole outlook on it.
Yeah, and I think I've said before something about, I wonder if they're ever going to introduce to the MCU Fury bots. You know, what was it, Original Sin, Jack, we had been talking about, where, you know, the heroes finally go to the space station and for the first time in years realize they're looking at an elderly Nick Fury. You know, they've only ever seen his younger looking bots, you know?
Yeah, it's like he never aged.
Well, yeah. The first Avengers movie had the life model decoy.
That's what it was, life model decoy.
So they introduced that way back in the first Avengers film. So,
yeah, you're right.
Then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had life model decoys within, I think it was like the third season or something like that. That was like
the Eve thing?
Yeah.
Is that what it was, Jack? Eve, like that scientists had made?
Yes.
Okay, I do recall that. I do recall that.
What that whole series part was called, was like life model decoys or something like that it was.
there's a video on YouTube that traces the MCU back all the way to the beginning, and it looks at what Nick Fury has said over the, like, there's a scene in Captain Marvel where he's like, you know, I only cut my sandwiches a certain way. I don't eat them this way. If I don't cut it this way, I don't eat it. And I'm only addressed as Fury, not Nick, not Nicholas, not Mr. Fury, Fury. That's the only thing I respond to. But then they'll look later in the MCU at points where he breaks his own rules. So, like, they go through each movie checking when you actually see him and when you're actually seeing Skrull. And for the most part, aside from Tony's funeral in Endgame and the very in Captain Marvel, he's probably been a Skrull.
Yeah.
Based on what people are saying. You know how people run with theories, right, and Easter eggs and stuff, but I can see it. I mean, the MCU does their Easter eggs. Yeah. Going back to the license plate, just a fucking number on a boat means something, you know?
Yeah, they sure do.
But it also makes a lot of sense as to why Fury didn't see through the multiverse, the 616 and all that. Because at the end of the movie, I was like, why would have he bought that? Like, how did he not see through that? This is the spy of all spies here, you know? But if it wasn't him...
Right.
Yeah, the real Fury surely would have, right? Okay, guys, what else we have? Or are we tapped?
I'm trying to think. I think I'm about tapped.
I can circle back to kind of what I was alluding to before, if we're not rehashing, but the whole dynamic with kind of Happy and Peter, I just kind of like how it's like almost like the reverse Bruce Wayne, Alfred kind of mentality, where it's like, no, I work with Peter. I don't work for Spider-Man.
That's an interesting way to look at that. I never thought about that. It is kind of, isn't it?
And there isn't really any other dynamic in the MCU like that. I mean, everybody's either like a partner or like a sidekick type, but they have kind of a unique.
Yeah. That is very interesting. I'm never going to look at it the same now. Wow.
What do you guys think about that?
Happy's been looking for recognition throughout his career in the MCU. He's always seems to be the funny guy. There's always a joke associated with Happy. So,
like the shield throw?
Yeah, you know, where's your badge? Where's your badge? You know, and being, you know, super anal about stuff. And it'll be interesting to see if Jon Favreau continues to, you know, grow that character into something a little bit more involved with what Peter's going to be going through next. So we'll see.
I hope they do. I think that would be really cool to see. I hope they don't start phasing him out for any reason, you know. He's such a good character, and... we've gone through some shit with him, you know?
Yeah.
We've been on a journey.
Dude, he got blown up in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Him consoling Morgan Stark at the end of Endgame was really touching, you know? I hope to see a lot more of him.
He's good future. Old happy Uncle Happy.
Well put, Jack. What else have we got on Far From Home? Anything?
I'm kind of glad at the end there they kind of ditched all the Iron Man-esque suits and kind of went back to the...
That's a good point to make, too. I was, very glad to see him leave the Iron Spider suit behind.
Yeah, because I kind of referred to him on our Patreon post as our Patreon episode as Iron Man Light.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems too easy sometimes. I understand at Endgame when it's like galactic threat and, like, you know, it matters. You got to have him be as effective as possible.
You were in space, bitch. Yeah.
Right. But it would have been overkill. You know, the spider suit would have, that iron suit probably would have seen straight through the illusions and whatnot. Right. Yeah. And I'm getting really, really sick of the helmets just kind of appearing on people's heads, like the nano shit. That is really getting so old. So the fact that he was actually pulling his mask off made me feel really good. You know, so sick of the nano stuff.
Again, well, I mean, you know, blame Stark. I mean, Stark's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I get it's practical in their universe, but as a spectator, I don't know. You've seen Spider-Man, like, have a villain rip his mask off, and all of a sudden there's an issue, you know?
Right.
It's not going to happen with nanos.
That happened to Spider-Man having a damaged mask so you could see part of his face in there. Instead, it would just grow back with the nano stuff.
Yeah. It's too easy. It's too easy.
Yeah.
I liked Iron Man's hood, like, snapping down in front of his face. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was, like, the final piece of the Transformer coming to place, you know? But when it just appears, it's like, And then same with Black Panther. I mean, not that his, like, putting on his helmet was anything really cool, but still, it just seems too easy just to have the helmets appear on him.
Right.
I don't know. All right. It sounds like we're probably tapped on Spider-Man conversation, unless anyone else has anything to add here.
No,
I do not.
I want to really quick before we go, David, last time we had talked to you, we were talking about movies to come, and one that was came up on in the conversation was Toy Story 4. Have you seen it, sir?
I have not. I have not seen it yet.
Damn. All right. Well, when you do, we got to talk because
David, good. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't get spoilers.
It was so good. It was so freaking good. You know, I just want to. I'm not going to spoil anything. Just say that when I heard a fourth was coming out, I was like, okay, here comes cash grab Disney. You know, but after you see it, you realize, okay, this has kind of always been the plan. This is like the over. It's telling one big long story, obviously. So it's not a cash grab. It's an important part of the story. Go see it. So good.
I will do that.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it then for this episode. We didn't get quite as much conversation as I'd hoped for, but that Endgame one, man, we were reeling, weren't we? But, Jack, yeah. What do we have on the website?
Go to candyairpodcast.com or you can check out show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, buy some merch, become a patron, see some YouTube videos. And if you want to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And David, where should our listeners be checking you out?
Mostly on Twitter these days, at David J. Fielding on Twitter. I also have Instagram, DJFielding_Zordon. Kind of phasing out the Facebook stuff because not really sure about that platform anymore. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not even on Facebook, but I understand it. I understand what you mean. Very good. And if you like what we're doing here at Canned Air, again, want to show your support for $5 a month, you get access to the Canned Air Patreon pod. Again, 20 plus episodes on there. So well worth your money. What else, Randy?
Like I said earlier, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcast app, show us some love, leave us some reviews, some likes, and we'll read them on there.
There you go. And check out our other show. I always forget. What If? Go to whatifpod.com where you can check on, you know, past episodes. But if you just search Canned Air Productions in any podcast player, both the shows will come up. And on What If, we take a scenario in every episode, like what if people could fly? What if Bigfoot had been found? Or what if a genie in a lamp had been found? We talked for about 40 minutes on the ramifications that would have on the world. So check it out. That show is, man, it's garnering a whole different audience than Canned Air is. It's yes. So funny. It's so neat to see the separation between the two audiences, but a lot of fun. So check it out. I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I'm Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And I'm David J. Fielding.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
My parents are mean, so I'm running away from home.
Where you gotta go?
I don't know yet, but that'll show them.
It sure will.
Shipwreck!
Parents just don't understand, and it gets lonely on the road, so be sure to listen to the Canned Air podcast.
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
But I don't know if y'all are you. I better take the Ohio out of my voice and cut the y'all out of there.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.